So here's the one slide summary of copyright. Okay, we're going to do a little. This is the lesson. This is everything in one slide. Now, there's the copyright clause of the Constitution, which gives Congress the right to write laws, and Congress has been writing laws for a long time. So this describes the evolved state of copyright. So what does copyright cover? It covers original works of authorship. Okay, that you can own the copyright. You can have the copyright on something if you're the author of it, not if it's not original. Fixed in a tangible medium, which used to mean that it had to be put down on paper, but now a tangible medium can certainly mean a computer disk, pretty much anything. But you can't just kind of have it in your idea and copyright it without in some way recording it. Covers the entire work, and skip that. And the copyright law gives the author the following exclusive rights. You have the right to make reproductions of the work, to print it. Now, most authors, of course, assign copyright or work out some limited, you know, deal with a book publisher or a music publisher or a movie distribution studio or something like that to do the reproduction. But that's the original right, you know, lies with the person who produced it. Prepare derivative works. We're going to talk about what those are. To distribute the work, to go out on the street and sell them. So the people who sell stuff that's not their own original work, as the example was we were just talking about, would be violating the author's right to be the distributor of their own work. To do public performances. You can't take somebody else's music and go perform it in public square in general. That's without compensating them or working out the right deal. Lasts for the lifetime of the author or plus 70 years or 95 years from publication if the copyright holder is a corporation. We're going to come back and talk about that for a minute. Copyrights last for a very long time. Since 1978, everything is copyrighted by default. So prior to 1978, the only way to get a copyright was to write the little C in the circle on the work and to actually register it with the copyright office. Now it's copyrighted automatically the minute you put pen to paper or put your voice on tape or whatever it is. As soon as it's fixed in a tangible medium, it's yours. You own the copyright. Ignorance is no defense against infringement. If you copy something and say you didn't know that it was copyrighted, that's not a defense. You're still liable. Of course, copying is violation. If something's created independently and you can show that you didn't have access to the original, that may be an excuse, but try that with the Beatles songs. And the actual law is about 250 pages long of extraordinarily dense and detailed prose. So here's something that's not original enough to copyright. Okay, here's something that is sufficiently original to copyright. There has to be some level of originality to it. Derivative works. Okay? This is different from the one we just saw, but it's not different enough, but it's clearly derived from the one we just saw. So the two Alfred E. Newmans, with or without the other, this is a derivative work from the first one. Whoever owns the copyright on this one would have a rationale for complaining if you went out and started printing t-shirts with Alfred E. Newman in spectacles on them. Lasts for the lifetime of the author plus 70 years. Now, this is where I'm going to actually go down this thread, but this one has been debated a lot. Here's the original Copyright Act. We have this slide reproduced in the book. I really love this. There's George Washington signed it, and co-signed here, or with the name anyway, without this actual signature of Thomas Jefferson, Secretary of State. And here the whole Copyright Act fills two columns and is entitled An Act for the Encouragement of Learning. Right, that was the original, that was consistent with the original purpose, to promote the progress of science and the useful arts. Act for the Encouragement of Learning by securing the copies of maps, charts, and books to the authors and proprietors of such copies during the times therein mentioned. Goes on and on describing what you have. Citizens of the United States or residents therein, his or her executors, administrators, or assigns who hath or hath purchased or have purchased or legally acquired the copyright of any such map, chart, book, or books in order to print, reprint, publish, or vend the same shall have the sole right and liberty of printing, reprinting, publishing, and vending such map, chart, book, or books for the term of 14 years from the recording the title thereof in the clerk's office as in hereafter directed, and the rest of it is all detail. So the copyright term was 14 years, and at the beginning that was thought long enough. After that it went into the public domain, anybody could make copies of it. You know, you could take the novels in the 18th century, wait 14 years, and start making money off themselves, them yourself. And I'm sorry this slide is a little dark here, but the so in 1790, even the original act, there was a provision for a 14-year renewal, so it was really 28 years if you acted to renew your copyright. And then starting in the 19th century and then steadily through the 20th century, the copyright term kept on moving up and up and up. You can see starting in the 60s, it increased fairly steadily. By 74, it was 70. Then it became life plus 50 or 75 for corporations. Then it moves to life plus 20 years later. It moves to life plus 70 or 95 years for corporations. And do you know what these numbers down at the bottom actually correspond to? What the driver was for the Congress to act to keep extending? See, this was just about, this is about a 20-year gap here. This is 1978 and 1990. It's exactly a 20-year gap. And they extended the term of copyright by 20 years. What happened?
Disney character?
It was Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse was about to enter the public domain, and Congress came in and rescued this precious piece of intellectual property, which, by the way, Walt Disney stole from somebody else back in the early part of the 20th century. I don't have those slides, but Mickey Mouse was actually a based fairly closely on another cartoon character that was there. So this is the Mickey Mouse Copyright Extension Act. So anyway, the argument goes here, and you can argue, you know, we could have a debate on it, but there are certainly those who believe that the economic incentive to create is expired by the time something has been in print or, you know, in use for 50 or 75 years, that you will not have people, you know, if Mickey Mouse had gone out of copyright in 1978 rather than 1998 or beyond, whatever the actual dates would be, Disney wouldn't have stopped making movies because they said, well, anything we do now, you know, 70 years from now, we're not going to make any more money on it, and therefore, why should we bother? Okay.